Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 40 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Shifting Atmospheres. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Last week I started in the prophetic of shifting and and changing atmosphere. How we can shift and change atmosphere. How important that is to shift atmosphere and to the reason I gave you the terminology of we've got to leave our stories, this tape that's playing in our minds of all of this accumulated evidence of how we've been mistreated, how people don't understand us, nobody loves me, I think I'll just die. Everybody hears the same story. So we got to leave those stories on how misunderstood we've been, how nobody loves me, how nobody understands me, nobody, 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 nobody. You can't fix that. But one advantage to getting older, I've been around a while, done tried everything you can do. You can't fix it. You got to divorce it. You got to leave it. And you got to go into your future in Christ. Now, to move into our future in Christ means that you're shifting an atmosphere. You're shifting an atmosphere. And this thing of understanding of shifting atmospheres, it's pretty complex. It can get pretty complicated as you look at it. And I started to say, well, it's not that complicated, but it is. It's just complicated. So I'm going to try to put something that's complicated in kind of like a chronological way to look at it. Number one, to shift an atmosphere, you've got to turn your stories off. Stories dictate atmosphere. There is a huge spiritual catch and out in Christianity today is, well, we need to go back into all of these memories and we got to fix all these memories so we can move on. That is not the message that I feel like I'm to bring. We do need our memories healed, but through the power of the supernatural. You can't fix them. So if we're going to move on and change atmosphere, you just lay them all down through the power of the Holy Spirit, the power they have over you will cease. It will cease because we've laid them down. Now going into our future as the bride of Christ, just think how a bride would feel. A bride would have great anticipation. We covered that. I'm going to get into this. A bride has great anticipation of the future. Do you not think as a bride that future's more on her mind than the past? Of course it is. She's not sitting around thinking about old boyfriends. She best not to be. Going to make for a bad future. Can you capture what I'm trying to say here? It's very important. We forgive past and go on so the future can develop. The future can't develop. You can't develop new atmosphere with old air. It's stale. It's already been breathed. There's no more life in it. Just carbon monoxide, that's all you got. No more life in it. You got to go into fresh air. That's what we're calling atmosphere change, atmosphere shift. There is a spiritual There's a spiritual characteristic that seems good, and it is good, only when it's applied in the right application. Loyalty is seen as one of the highest. It is felt in your subconscious that loyalty is one of the greatest characteristics of a true spiritual person. But your past is trying its best to use that characteristic to its advantage. Now, see if you can feel what I'm saying. Your soul demands loyalty to your past. It demands it. You're not a faithful person if you're not loyal to your stories, your past story. For me to be worth anything, I've got to be loyal and to those past stories. And that loyalty applied at the wrong time causes the stories to stay. Now, as a prophetic people, consider this, please. Satan and his cohorts have no power. They have none. They have none. Jesus took care of their power. So they had to change their mode of operations. They had to retreat into full deception. The deception is a form of light. Can you hear me? How is that a form of light? It's loyalty. It's one example. People with disorders or any type of addiction. What holds you in the addiction and the disorder is your loyalty to the addiction and disorder. At the end of an addiction or a disorder is always a spirit. And the only way that spirit can lead you and take over your life is you're loyal to it. Anybody hear me? Now, that loyalty is what is at hand. How are we going to spend our loyalty? So, as I say this, my hope is that through the power of the Spirit that you're hearing more than I'm saying, and that you can hear it and you can understand, well, I thought I was, because I'm a loyal person, I need to be loyal to this story and that story and this person and that thing that happened, and I've got to remember it. Well, I've forgiven them, but through my loyalty, I will keep it alive. Remember, Satan has no power. Its only hope is deception, and it deceives us and uses our power against ourselves. I just told you the truth, whether you believe it or not. Satan has no power. So his only hope is deception. And through that deception, he will control and manipulate you. And you will feel loyalty rise up in you to keep the deception alive. Now, so to shift these atmospheres from a natural to a spiritual, we are now, if you've been born again, you are a spiritual being and you are a natural being. Seems like to me that I'm sure God understands that can be right confusing to us. How we're spirit and we're inner souls being born again, and Lord knows I don't have my new body yet. So it's an area of confusion almost, but The reason we do the prophetic is to bring that was confused into an area of true light. And if you're not hearing more than I'm saying, I have failed. Because I'm trying to say enough that the Holy Spirit reveals to you what you need to hear and see. So why do we want to shift an atmosphere? Now let me move on. Why do I want to shift an atmosphere? Why do I want to leave my old stories replaying in my mind? Why do I want to leave that? It's because I am persuaded as being the bride of Christ, there's a certain way the bride of Christ needs to be thinking. Who would want a bride that's thinking about old boyfriends? Right? Who would want to marry that bride? Would you share secrets with a bride that takes those secrets to an old boyfriend? Don't think so. So as a prophetic people and God sharing his secrets, can you see why you need to leave your stories and that loyalty to these stories, which keeps them alive? It keeps them alive to a point they'll keep repeating and growing. They'll repeat and they grow. The old stories grow. It's prophetic unto your future. Instead of being the bride anticipating a new future. So we're going to leave those. We're going to check the old stories. We're going to divorce them. We're going to marry Christ, which is our future. Now, why do we want to shift this atmosphere? Why do we want to leave these stories and go into our future? Why do we want to? There's got to be more to it. Why do we want to shift this atmosphere? Well, I hope everyone sees themselves as an individual, as the bride. And as the bride of Christ, and you shift in your story, what happens is it creates an atmosphere, a spiritual atmosphere, and that atmosphere is within your spirit, your soul, and your body. It changes the atmosphere. The atmosphere dictates what you can grow in the atmosphere. If you've got an atmosphere of your past stories, guess what's going to grow? Your past stories. Might be different names, different faces, but they're going to grow. Same story. Same story. Why do we want to shift atmosphere in this congregation, in our lives? We want to shift it unto the mindset of a bride anticipating future. Do you think that a bride anticipates a nice home in the future? Does she anticipate being better off physically, spiritually, in all aspects? Does a bride not just in there as part of the atmosphere of a bride anticipating greater things? You see, the reason the bride is the bride and gets married is because they're anticipating greater things. When we became the bride of Christ, we were now not anticipating hell, anticipating greater things. Hasn't changed. So the atmosphere of the bride of Christ has got to be the atmosphere of anticipating greater things. Not how bad everything is and how bad everybody is. It's not how bad you've been mistreated. It's about your future in Christ. Now, why do we want to shift it? Isaiah 40:31. But those who do what? Now, why shift atmosphere? If we shift atmosphere, it's going to change what's going to grow. I went over a little bit this last week, but I'll tell you where I did and where I didn't. But those who hope in the Lord will do what? Renew. So if you want to be renewed means that you've been made new again. If you feel old, that means you need to be renewed. If you feel like that nothing is ever going to change in your life, you have just lost faith in God. You say, nothing's going to change. It's always been like this, always going to be like this. That's not the mentality of a bride. Your future is what you're looking unto. Your hope, if we've in an old atmosphere, we want to shift. I want to use the scripture. The way you do it is you return back to hope in the Lord. According to this scripture, if you do that, your strength will be made new. Anybody need some new strength? Well, the problem is we're losing hope in the Lord. Faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things not seen. So hope is the measuring stick of faith. How do you know how much faith you got? How much hope you got? I can't measure faith, but I can measure hope, Ed. Now, hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will do what? Soar on wings. So those that have to have, how do I know that I have hope in the Lord? It's because I soar. A soar. What does that mean? That means that the wind of God is under your wings and you move. You're moving. You're just moving. What does moving mean? That means you're so full of life you got to fly. That's what it means. If there's something in you that has a faint, that has an ear that can kind of hear what I'm saying and kind of remember what I'm saying, you need to be renewed. Because I've reminded you of something you already know, but it's been a while since you've been there. So if it feels like a faint voice, hope again in the Lord. He'll renew that strength. And then you'll soar. Well, we need to get into soaring. What does soar mean? I'm going to get into that a little bit. You will soar on wings like eagles. They will run, not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Sounds like to me somebody's been to the spiritual gym if they do that. Somebody's working out. How do you get strong in the Lord? You work out your hope. You work it. You work it. They will run and not grow weary. Now, I put out this little, I don't know if you can see it, little proverb I call it this week. We are all being transformed like a caterpillar to a butterfly. The butterfly just needs to remember to fly. What good does it do the butterfly to be transformed if it doesn't fly? A butterfly is more winged than anything else. A butterfly catches wind currents, flaps its wings only at the beginning, so it can catch the wind currents. That's what this scripture in Isaiah is talking about. Listen, Christians, just because you don't maybe understand what I'm saying, you need to fly, doesn't mean you can't fly. You just fly. Alan, I don't know what that means. Well, ask the Holy Spirit and hang on. If you got the nerve, and you'll fly. How do you know you're flying? Because you're going places and you don't know how you got there. Got a new friend here today. His name's Mike Lewis. Say, Mike. He drove all the way from Raleigh because he heard this is a prophetic church. Wanted to get around the prophetic. Wanted to hear the prophetic. My question is, if the Holy Spirit told you to drive to Raleigh, do the same, would you? How far will you fly? He doesn't know how he got here. I mean, he made the decision, but he don't know how he got here. 5 years ago, he wouldn't have thought he'd jumped in the car and drove here on Sunday morning. He'd say, you're crazy. So he doesn't know how he got here. He just flew. and the Holy Spirit brings him here. What do? We fly. And God will take you places through the wind of His Spirit, and you won't have any idea how you got there. Only thing I can promise you, you're where you didn't think you'd be. Amen to that. Praise His holy name. Say bye to Boone, Dustin. We're just glad. Now, I need to move on. You must first be the change. A butterfly changes. If you can't be the change, you have to be the change before you can be an instrument of change. You must divorce your past and marry your future. You must first change before you can be an instrument of change. You say, well, I want to feed the poor and I want to lead people to Jesus and I want to do this and I want to do that. Well, that's fine. But you got to change to meet the call. You got to change to meet the task. You can't get to where you're going without change. It's not going to happen. Quit trying to defend where you are because you're going to leave it anyway. Where you are is just a stepping stone to where you're going to be. Don't camp out where you are. You'll get bored with it pretty quick. Then we'll sit around and fuss and fight over where I am. I'm going to defend it, bless God, till I die. Wow. Like that some... See, I'm trying to tell you, that point of loyalty keeps you from changing. Yeah. We're loyal to Christ, and Christ is changing us from glory to glory. You got to be loyal to the right thing. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to anybody? Yeah. So we check, we got to view our loyalty. What are we loyal to? Now, what if we all showed up in here changed? Come on now. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm trying to challenge you. What if we all came in here changed into this change of the bride of Christ? What if we came in here like that? That scares the bejeebies out of me. Do y'all realize what God might do? How can God speak to us from heaven with unchanged spirits? He speaks to us in chains because what He's going to speak to us is going to change us some more. You see, your last point of revelation is your last point of obedience to the last revelation. You have to... Can anybody hear that? I'm glad because I can't say it again. Now, what if we all showed up changed? Nothing can resist this kind of change. From a caterpillar to a butterfly, it's metamorphosis. Complete change in the cocoon. Complete change. Nothing can resist that butterfly, that caterpillar, from becoming a butterfly. I'll tell you something. It's between you and God. I've had several people in my life I've had the privilege to talk with. Has had addictions and a few things going on, disorders of first one kind and another. I had a homosexual one time. He came to me and begged me to get this thing off of him. I had to tell him, I can't. I can't get it off of you. I said, you and God has to get it off of you. I can't. I can't heal you. I can't do any of these things. You and God can, there's only ones that can do it. You see, they had this, I read this experiment, and there was this person, and were studying butterflies. And in the study, right before the butterfly was coming out of the cocoon, he took a little set of tweezers and stuff because he felt like that the butterfly was staying in the cocoon too long. So he just opened it up a little bit to help the butterfly out of the cocoon. So then it tore it on open. The butterfly came way out. And a few days later, and it stretched its wings and took off, and it fell to the ground. What they discovered was that the butterfly tearing open its cocoon is what brought strength to the wings so it could fly. Anybody with me? I'm not here to, I can't set you free. Only you and God can do it. You have to break the cocoon. I've yet to have one person that had disorders or addictions that didn't come free to where them and God didn't tear it open and fly. But you help people. Only thing you can do is give people truth, which is opportunity. You can't do it for them. Yes, that's right for your children too. You do everything for them and they will not be able to fly. I read an article the other day. It said, well, all millennials are staying home with their parents. I said, it's just because you didn't let them fly. You did everything for them. It's nice and you love everybody. I understand that. It's being nice to let the caterpillar out, help it out a little bit, but it didn't have any strength to fly. We didn't create this. God did. You got to have enough sense to know when you help and when you just give truth. You, listen, church, you can't do nothing. We don't have special people with superhuman powers. I don't have any, and you don't either. Let's get off of this religious kick that some people's more spiritually superior than others. Amen. Can we get off that kick? Amen. Nobody is spiritual but Jesus Christ Himself. And if you and Jesus don't work out your salvation, it ain't going to work. Say, Alan, that's good preaching. That's the truth. I've just had it with special people and then pass the plate. I've had it. Now, nothing can resist change. A true change, nothing can resist it. It'll cut through everything. Now, success is not the change, but value is. You see, a lot of people think it, well, if I'm successful, I've changed. Well, God wants me to be successful. Let me tell you something. There's greater people that aren't successful than like we think they should be successful. They're greater because their value's greater. God's not wanting us to change into something successful. He's trying to change us into something that has value. Now, it just so happens that success follows value. According to how you want to measure success, it's a lot of different ways out there. The human soul, of course, wants money. And some value will equal that. But you're not running after success. You're running after spiritual value. And it's found in Christ Jesus and Him alone. Now, each one of us have something to accomplish with this change of the Spirit. Now, please hear me on this one. God's not changing us just to change us. Things of the Spirit, think of it like this. I had a dream one time, and I'm not going to go into this dream, but it was a dream of dominoes. And they were all set up. One, you've seen dominoes fall, one falls, and then they all fall. The reason you are changed is because God is setting you up to fall against somebody else. You're the only one that can do it. If we do not do it, it will not be done. And I've heard it said, well, if I don't do it, somebody else will. Well, yeah, that might be true in making hot dogs and hamburgers. It's not true in what I'm talking about. Each individual in this metamorphosis of a change into a spiritual being, if you don't do what you've been changed to do, it's not going to happen. That's the reason each person is so vital to take out of the system of the Spirit. You have not been sent here to do something that everybody else is going to do. This spiritual thing is too complex. It's a spiritual matrix. Every individual has an assignment from God to develop and to implement change because you've been changed. Always understand this, a word of God means something's fixing to change. To those of you who don't like change, God help you is all I know. You can believe it or not, I don't like change. But I've had to come to terms with the truth of God's voice. Now, have you got it? If you don't do it, it ain't happening. The hardest part on this change is getting started. All right, I've told you a lot about change, how we're leaving our stories, we're going to our new ones. We're going to have the mindset of the bride of Christ with great anticipation of the future. How can I be this agent of change? How can I change? How can I get on into butterfly and fly? Hardest thing you'll ever do is getting started. You've already been born again, but you're not started. Or you maybe started and run a little bit, but your motor went dead. The hardest thing in life to do with anything is getting started. You can say, Alan, don't believe it. Well, think of this. Your vehicle got you to church today. What if you hadn't have started it? Right? The first thing you got to do before you can fly is you got to start. Got to hit starter. You got to have a battery. You wouldn't believe how a starter to a motor labors to get it going. It takes a lot of power, takes a lot of juice. It takes a lot of human effort to start spiritual things. Can somebody hear what I'm trying to tell you? Amen. It takes a lot of human effort. Your human effort's your starter. It's hard to start. You're wanting an easy start. It ain't going to happen. You got to get lined up. You got to get your starter lined up with the flywheel so you can fly. You got to get her started. I don't care what you do. Let's say you're going to go to the gym. Hard part's getting started. Once you get started, you'll do it. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Well, it's a great idea, but you won't ever get it started. You won't ever hit starter. Why? Because the hardest thing to do is to start the engine. The engine will take you somewhere, but you got to start it first. The hardest thing to do, where is Satan going to hit you at, in the engine or the starter? He's going to hit you in the starter. Because that is the hardest thing, is to get started. You must start your engine before you can move. In the Spirit, you got to start. You got to engage it. Now, okay, here we go. Getting uncomfortable is a superpower to start your engine. You missed a wonderful place to say, glory, hallelujah, I just heard the truth. You wondered why your life is so uncomfortable, didn't you? The most uncomfortable a starter will ever be is when it's trying to start its engine. Other than that, The starter of an engine lays there very comfortable, doing nothing. Once the engine's running, the starter don't even work. You have to trouble the starter, make it very uncomfortable, shoot juice to it, make it do something it doesn't want to do before it'll start. I submit to you this, prophetic people. God has not promised you a life of being comfortable. God has to make us uncomfortable before we'll start our cotton pick and blame spiritual engines. You know I'm telling you the truth. Why does God not answer your prayer? God, I'm so uncomfortable. Stop what's making me uncomfortable. That means that God would actually be stopping you from flying in the Spirit. I had a dream years ago, a lot of you heard it, and I'll not go into it and bore you with it. But it was a dream about a kite. And in that dream about the kite, I learned that the way the kite gains altitude is by the resistance caused by the string. The wind of the Spirit blows against the kite. But without the resistance of the string, the kite will never fly. You can look at being look at all the uncomfortable things in your life. You can look at it as, oh God, I'm uncomfortable, change that. God, I'm uncomfortable to change it. God, if this person, if that, if all these uncomfortable things, God, would change, then I'll be comfortable. Well, just a newsflash, God does not have in His heart to make you comfortable. Maybe in heaven, but that's not what this earth is about. It's about being uncomfortable. Now, here's the choice. The choice is to be made here. Are you going to drag around your uncomfortabilities? Are you going to drag them around like a great old big weight? Or are you going to pick up what's uncomfortable and start working them weights out? And you're working them weights out. And you're going to take what is weight to you. You're going to respond to the weight properly. You're going to learn by it. You're going to get stronger by it than if the weight hadn't have been there. It's your choice. You can say, Alan, that's just pipe dreams. No, that's truth. And if you don't want to accept it, you've heard the truth. Everything that's made you uncomfortable is your choice if you're going to let it make you spiritually stronger or not and fly on wings of eagles. God don't change your problems. He'll let you fly above them, though. You can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or you can fly over the valley of the shadow of death. He's there with you at either place. I choose flight. Moves a lot faster. Don't drag your problems around or what's made you uncomfortable around. I call it's a superpower if you use it correctly. If nothing else, you'll never do that again. Right? Say, Alan, this is uncomfortable because I did that. Well, you'll never do that one again. But don't keep dragging it around. All right. Gentlemen, ladies, start your engines. We're going to shift atmospheres. I got just a few minutes. It's obvious I'm not going to get near done. But if there's a next week, we'll be here again. Shifting atmospheres. Last week, you remember I talked about shifting atmospheres in any season. I told you how in December you don't plant corn. January you don't plant corn because it's too cold to plant corn. But also in winter season, I can be homeless and cold, or I can be at a ski resort. I don't let that offend you. You can say, well, you shouldn't be up there. You should be helping those. No, I said I could be Not talk about somebody else. I could be homeless and cold, or I can be at a ski resort. I don't care what the season. People say we're in hard economic times. I don't care. Everybody's not. That might be the season. Are you going to let the earth's season dictate your life as the bride of Christ? We are spiritual beings living in a natural world, which create an atmosphere. Now, I went over that last week, not to do it again. I also went over this. We are anticipating a shift. How do we do it? How do we change these atmospheres? Number one, we come in here and we're anticipating an atmospheric change. That can be in a church, can be in your life, it can be in this. I don't care where you're at. You've got to have this anticipation. Y'all remember, went over that last week. It's an action of expectancy. Went over that last week. Now, I wanted to hit this week, just a second. In anticipation and expectancy, don't expect or anticipate the worst. You see, anticipation and expectancy is a superpower of the Spirit. Expectancy, anticipation is power unto the spirit world. If you're expecting or anticipating the worst all the time, guess what's going to happen? The worst. Why? Because those are two supernatural, powerful words. That's the reason I'm asking you to leave your stories. I ain't got time to fix them all. I'm sorry your mom and daddy treated you bad and your third grade school teacher made you stand in the corner. I'm sorry. But you got to leave it. You got to leave it. If your expectancy and anticipation is based on your old stories, they will keep repeating and growing because that's the atmosphere you have put them in. Say, Alan, I got it. You want to put them down. You want to bury it. Just let it go. It'll hit the ground. Let it go. Don't keep it alive. Take that same anticipation and expectancy as the bride of Christ of what all He has in store for us futuristically. Now, so don't anticipate the worst. Anticipate the mindset of the bride of Christ. Do not expect or anticipate the worst in the expectation of or in preparation for in case or ready for. All right, I just did that. All right, that's anticipation. When you anticipate, you're ahead of the game. I did that last week. Now, I want to go into this number two. When we shift and start to fly, spiritually speaking, we are now shifting the spiritual atmosphere in our life. Says this in Ephesians 1, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might do what? Gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Now, as the bride of Christ, our atmosphere, our mindset, our futuristic goal is to gather what's in heaven and gather what's in earth and bring them together. That's it. That's what we want to do right now. We want to say what's in heaven. Well, Jesus said it like this: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Apostle Paul said this. This is what we're in. The Lord's purpose is to gather together all things in Christ Jesus in heaven and in earth. On a Sunday morning, make no mistake about it, if it scares the britches and the life out of you, so be it. But we are calling on and praying for the what's in heaven to come to this earth. Now, that's our purpose. I'm sorry, that's our purpose. I ain't a bit sorry. I've been waiting on this my whole life. What's in heaven to come to this earth. Now, when it shows up, Don't get cold feet on me. It's okay if you get wet eyes, just don't get cold feet. Because we're doing what this says. I know what I've seen what the bride of Christ is to be about. Bringing what's in heaven to the earth. So what does that mean? That means we're grabbing up everybody down here on the earth and we're trying to throw some heaven into them. We want all the empty, lost people we can grab. That's what we want to do. And we promise them everything God says he can do. Say, well, Alan, what if God don't do it? Well, that's not your business. It's up to God's business. I don't know how uncomfortable God wants this person. I have no idea how uncomfortable he wants them. But I'm going to pray all of heaven on them and all of hell out. Okay. As time comes into maturity, God is going to be in the gathering business. So we've got to have the mindset of gathering heaven, earth. He's going to have this marriage supper. The lamp's going to be a big one. It's going to be the big one. It's going to be huge. No books have written what God's going to do. I showed you last week is we got to come into unity so we can catch this thing. I know how it works. The more people we got in unity, the more of the outpouring. The bigger the unity, listen, I think I said this last week. The more you lay down, the bigger the visitation. Please hear me. God wants to help us in our needs. I can't fix it. Only you and God got to work this thing out. But this much I know. Ever what your needs are, you got to lay it at the cross of Christ. Why? Because that's what draws heaven. God wants to fix our needs, but he don't fix our needs till you lay them go and lay them down. I'm trying to make it free. Does anybody get what I'm saying? You got to lay it down so we can draw all the power of heaven. No lay downy, no giddy. Now, in Genesis 1:1, we see that God is about two places. This whole Bible, there's more going on in the universe than these, but he's talking about these two places, heaven and earth. God has a people in mind for the earth and a people in mind for the heavens. This whole book's about heaven and earth. It's what the whole thing's about, it's heaven and earth. God is so about, he's been about the heaven and earth ever since Genesis 1:1. We're still in Genesis 1:1. God's still about heaven and earth. He's called us now as the bride to gather what's in heaven and earth. Now listen to me. Can you believe we have been empowered to gather on earth and to gather in heaven? Say, Alan, I've never been to heaven. I hadn't either, but my arm can reach in there, he says. I have the permission. I have the permission to reach into heaven. I can promise people on the earth anything that's in heaven. God's initial Genesis 1:1 was about heaven and earth. Listen, church, you've been created for more. Turn your stories off in your brain. Turn them off. Lay them down. If you'll lay down your stories, the Spirit will use it for spiritual firewood. And a fire will burn. And it'll burn. And it'll burn. It'll draw heaven. And it'll burn. It'll draw heaven. And it'll burn. That's what an altar's about. You bring it, you lay it down. It's firewood to draw the fire of heaven. We saw with Elijah when the fire of God came out of heaven upon the earth and it consumed. It consumed. It consumed. It consumed what was on that altar. If you want the fire of God in your life, if you want the fire of God in this church, you better be laying down some firewood because we're looking for God to send it in a way that's unexplainable, in a way that you'll never be the same. Has anybody heard what I've tried to say? All right, let's go into this next service. It's already begun. If you got to go to the bathroom, so be it. But let's don't break our mode of worship here. Worship things here. Let's enter in. Let's stand up. Let's enter in. Let's don't lose 5 seconds here. Lord Jesus, be with us today. We love you. We honor you. We thank you, oh God, for the power of your true word.
Yes.
We ask and pray, oh God, that prophetically speaking, that ever what's in heaven could come to this place today. Today. Today.